America did not exist. 4 centuries of work, bloodshed, loneliness, and fear created this land. We built America, and the process made us Americans. A new breed, rooted in all races, stained and tinted with all colors, a seeming ethnic anarchy. Then, in a little time, we became more alike than we were different. A new society. Not great, but fitted by our very faults for greatness. Excuse me, Mr. Twain.
What's that?
Perhaps you recognize those inspiring words from one of America's great writers.
No, Dr. Franklin, I don't recall writing anything like that.
Oh, my, of course not. They're from the pen of John Steinbeck, back in the 20th century. Why, it seems he has nearly the same spirit as the founding fathers themselves.
Well, listen to the proud elder statesman.
Mr. Twain, pride is one of our national passions. Even those who overcome it are proud of their humility.
Easy now. I was born honest. Fortunately, more often. Dr. Franklin is our genuine American antique. I suppose our story begins with you.
Actually, it started long before even my time. It started when dreams and visions of a new world were shrouded in the myths and legends of an old world. Finally, through those early mists of uncertainty, sailed the first great adventurers. This tiny ship is the Mayflower, carrying pilgrims in search of their dream, a dream of religious freedom. So, if you pardon an old man's pride, for me, this is the beginning of the American adventure.
There's a land across this ocean I'm waiting to see. A land for these people who dream to be free. So stand by the mainsail, the fierce storms will race. Aloft with ye mates, our King Neptune will face. You'd think that these landlubbers never would last. This cargo of pilgrims, 12 weeks for the mast. It's land ho, me hearties, at last we've arrived. And praise be to God, nearly all have survived. But look o'er this wilderness, brings me to dread that the first bitter winter may leave all more dead. They call themselves pilgrims, these poor wretched souls, with a dream to be free in the new world their goal.
Yes, far from welcoming the early settlers, this land severely challenged them. It was a struggle for survival that gained but a tiny toehold in a vast, untamed wilderness. In the decades that followed, a new challenge began to emerge. We were growing more and more apart from the mother country. Passion began to govern, and she never governs wisely.
Ha! The British think it's fools we be! If they tax our trade, then our land be next, and soon all else be possessed!
Hear me now! You ask defense against the French and the Indians. Should you not help pay for it?
Parliament's colonial policy is both arbitrary and unjust.
That's nonsense. The same tea that cost you 3 shillings a pound costs us 6.
First, we spoke out with our voices. Then, we spoke out with action, with a growing defiance that led to the Boston Tea Party.
Hear ye! Hear ye! By royal proclamation, His Majesty King George III, hear my sense.
Look at this! They're closing the harbor!
But surely we can work something out. Our king feels we've wronged him.
Your king, you Tory! Either we cut the ties with England, or we surrender!
Finally, the time had come to speak with one voice in a declaration of independence.
Ah, good evening, Mr. Jefferson. Have you finished the new draft yet?
Those are new drafts all over the floor, Dr. Franklin. It seems one stroke of this pen brings two changes from Congress. I told you John Adams should have written this.
Oh, by his own admission, you can write circles around him.
Mr. Adams has not been prisoner in this loft for 17 days. I shall continue tomorrow.
You must continue now. Thomas, it is difficult to make 13 clocks chime at the same time, but we must carefully justify the separation.
Dr. Franklin, while you slept soundly through the meeting this afternoon, we did manage to justify separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And to secure these rights, governments...
76, my boys, we never must revere. Let every antagonist must get up and fight for freedom dear. We'll hit the place of the Red Cross as Yankee volunteers. Oh, tis a great delight to march and fight, but it's getting tough, I fear.
I shall spend another night. You got shoes, mate. There's not a dozen left what can say that.
Don't tell me, friend. Tell the good general then. Tell him that half his camp has got typhus, smallpox, or dysentery.
And there be not a ration amongst us. Now we can forage for hickory nuts.
Aye, while the English overindulge in all of Philadelphia's fine food and drink.
Tis a strange war we shoulder, George Washington. Congress is warmly in York.
And the British party in Philadelphia.
And we freeze or starve to death here in Valley Forge.
The gates of Valley Forge, my boys, forever we must hail. We fight the cold with rags on our feet as the lobster bats regale. But the time will come when they'll be on the run and their ships will onward sail. Oh, it's a great delight to march and fight along the victory trail. It's a great delight to march and fight along the victory trail.
In the end, we the people prevail and achieve perhaps our greatest dream. 13 very different colonies became the United States of America, and we were free to become an entire nation of dreamers and doers.
Westward bound, Dr. Franklin, to new frontiers.
To the age of Samuel Langhorne Clemens.
Well, I like to think Mark Twain was part of all that. Yes, sir, Dr. Franklin. You founding fathers gave us a pretty good start, don't you know? We still had some things to learn the hard way. Seems a whole bunch of folks found out we, the people, didn't yet mean all the people. Folks like Frederick Douglass.
Even amidst the cricket song here along Mark Twain's beloved Mississippi, I hear the noise of chains and the crack of the whip. And yet, there is hope. Hope born from the words of Harriet Beecher Stowe. Uncle Tom's cabin has given our nation a key, which can unlock the slave prison to millions. Anti-slavery is no longer a thing to be prevented. It is grown to abundance, to be stuffed out like a factor.
troublemakers like Douglas got us into this mess.
We only wanted freedom, not war.
Well, listen to my abolitionist brother.
What?
Pa, he's gonna make a real good Philly Yankee.
We got a good cause, Johnny Red.
Quiet, both of you. You're gonna ruin Ma's birthday.
No. Ain't nothing gonna ruin today. We're all together. That's what counts. Now, you go ahead, Mr. Brady.
All right, everybody. Oh, real still now.
The fife and drum began to play, all on a beautiful morning. One was gentle, one was kind, one was gentle, one was kind. One came home, one stayed behind, a cannonball don't pay no mind. A cannonball don't pay no mind, if you're gentle or if you're kind. It don't think of the folks behind, hold on a beautiful morning.
Civil War ended. The time had come to rebuild our shattered nation. And a new wave of immigrants would help us do it. From around the world they came, these new Americans. 1,000 noble currents from Earth and Belgium all pouring into one. Seems there was a new dawn coming for the American adventure.
Enough! Enough of your words! Your new dawn, lead to the final sunset on my people's suffering.
When I think of our condition, my heart is heavy. I see men of my own race treated as outlaws or shot down like animals. I hope that all of us may be brothers with one country around us and one government for all. The sun now stands. I will fight no more. Forever.
The wisdom of the great Chief Joseph reminded us once again of our long, painful journey to the frontiers of human liberty. Franklin's Philadelphia again. We're 100 years old today. We came a long way in that first century. And like Susan B. Anthony, we're still speaking out.
And why shouldn't we, Mr. Twain?
As Tom Edison says, discontent is the first necessity of progress.
Edison? Afraid I don't place the name.
Edison's that young phonograph inventor. Why, this great hall is filled with new inventions. There's Otis Elevator, Taller's magnificent steam engines.
And don't forget me telephone, the true hallmark of progress.
Aha! Behold the proud Scots.
That's right. Carnegie Steel built this place.
Aye, and it'll soon build a new concert hall for New York.
Oh, Carnegie Hall, eh? It'll never last. Donating libraries. Andy, that's a grand idea.
It's an age for grand ideas.
An era for innovation.
A dawn for new awareness.
A time to challenge the frontiers of a new century.
Century on the wings of invention and the winds of change. But our America, the beautiful, she was changing too. We needed people like Teddy Roosevelt and an outspoken naturalist, John Muir, to get our attention.
Beautiful. Bully beautiful. Those falls are magnificent.
Aye, Mr. President. But it won't last if the timber thieves have their way.
John, you may be right, but the country's growth is putting a tremendous demand on our resources.
Any fool can destroy trees. Why, for more than 3,000 years, God has cared for our giant sequoias, saved them from drought, disease, avalanches, and floods. But he cannot save them from fools.
Now, John, you know I can't ask lumbering to stop completely.
All I ask is that we stop massive destruction. What will our children inherit? Seedlings?
Of course not. I realize we're not building this country for a generation alone. I know we've got to expand our parks.
Then start it here and now. Make this valley a part of Yosemite National Park.
Well, I guess we needed those national parks. Seems the simple life of my day was slipping away. Ready or not, we were soon thrust into the hectic role of a world leader and into the war to end all wars.
After his departure from New York, Captain Charles Augustus Lindbergh successfully landed his Spirit of St. Louis in Paris last week. Lucky Lindy's solo flight across the Atlantic has certainly placed him among the greatest in a long line of American pioneers.
Today, October 29, 1929, Wall Street became America's greatest wall of rubble. This stock market crash has tarnished the golden dreams of millions.
Built a tower to the sun, brick and rivet and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime?
Spare a dime? Sure, buy four of my apples and I'll loan you back to 10 cents.
Hey, Sam. I heard tell there's New York millionaires are selling apples too.
You mean ex-millionaires, don't you?
Say, it looks like the storm's finally letting up. Well, maybe the Sunday drivers will come out hunting for gas. Ain't many folks pay no 18 cents a gallon.
Hey, listen, fellas. Old FDR's been inaugurated.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
he's right. Folks could use a little prosperity around these parts.
Yes, sir. Before this depression, we sure had enjoyed special blessings.
Hold it.
But you know, it seems to me that we was a mighty cocky nation. We'd begun to believe that the height of civilization was an automobile, a radio, and a bathtub. Of course, now we're a whole lot smarter. Now Congress wants to trim down the Navy, so it'll fit into the bathtub too. You know, it seems to me like we're the only nation in the world that waits till we get in the war before we start getting ready for it.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, at the Berlin Hindenburg, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces.
Mr. Twain. What do you think of our America now?
I think the founding fathers never dreamed of an America like this.
Of course not. We weren't dreamers. We were visionaries. That is why our Constitution withstands the rigors of time.
Easy now, Dr. Franklin. This nation's still just a youngster, don't you know? Why, some countries have been around for 50 centuries. We're barely into our third.
That's true. Look what we've accomplished in that tiny span of time.
My dear doctor, earlier you found John Steinbeck so inspiring. And he also sounded this warning. We now face the danger which in the past has been the most destructive to the human. Success, plenty, comfort, and ever-increasing leisure. No dynamic people has ever survived these dangers.
I may have invented these bifocals I'm wearing, but I can assure you they are not rose-colored. Mr. Twain, the golden age never was the present age, but with human liberty, we can fulfill the promise and meaning of America. To everyone a chance, believed Thomas Wolfe. To all people, regardless of their birth, the right to live, to work, to be themselves, and to become whatever their visions can combine to make them. This is the promise of America. Mr. Twain, it is easy to see, hard to foresee, but I foresee the American adventure to continue a long, long time.
America, you must be free.